Visiting with Rich Nelson at Allendale, we've just had the latest WASDE report come out. So give us some highlights.
You know, for the most part, the trade wasn't expecting USDA to really give us too much to speak of regarding the new discussions on demand, and USDA really did not. We did notice on the corn side, stocks were lowered from 1.552 billion bushels to now 1.502. So they recognize about 50 million bushels on the corn side as far as export sales. Soybean numbers actually not too bad, dropping from 140 to now 120 million bushels. Discussion for the soybean side is actually, you know, this implied stocks to use 2.6% is actually the lowest of any stocks to use number we've traded in modern history during the marketing year. And it retests the ending numbers posted for the 2013-14 marketing year. So very tight supplies were recognized, at least for soybeans. And as far as the discussion on wheat, looks like the trade focus was, well, no change for today's report. Keep in mind, though, we do have 1 week of good export sales behind us. So perhaps maybe those numbers might tighten up in maybe some future reports.
Well, world-ending stocks for wheat, as you mentioned, showed a moderate decline. I know that was a sharper drop than most expected. Why is that?
You know, as far as the wheat side, the USDA did recognize some higher demand for both China as well as India, which we really didn't expect to see. For example, the Chinese demand number was raised by 5 million tons. So even though we didn't really have any major changes for wheat production, this certainly was a good increase for the demand discussion. Now, on the world side of wheat, though, you know, we're not quite fixing things yet on the world's discussion. The stocks to use number that USDA has plugged in, it's still the second largest ever for the world numbers on the wheat.
With the dry global conditions that we're seeing, do you think we'll expect to see more like global corn and soybean production going forward?
And that's a really good question here. So, you know, as it stands right now, everybody in the trade is just going to plug in trend line yields for right now for corn and soybeans, the upcoming crops. Also, you know, we do have our questions regarding questions on the winter wheat production discussion as well, which will be addressed once we get some spring rains going. But bottom line for us, there's still a significant amount of risk. And like you mentioned, as far as the drought discussion on the U.S. side, and forecasters still suggesting summer or specifically late summer dryness, that might be something to watch here these next few months.
Will this particular report have much impact on the market prices?
You know, for the most part, this was considered a minor disappointment with corn, with obviously some lower trade for today's discussion. In the grand scheme of things, though, this is still the second highest corn close we've had yet of this uptrend. And heck, given what the trade still feels its own balance sheet, personal beliefs regarding corn supply demand, we can't quite say this is going to stop the bull market here yet for either corn or soybeans.
Well, talk to us a little bit about cotton.
You know, for the most part, on the cotton side here, a lot of people have been wondering about this issue for not just the current discussions on just the supply demand discussion, but also the new crop discussion. I think that acreage, especially in recent days, we're now questioning what might be seen there. For the cotton itself here, we actually didn't see too much of a major change here yet. Looks like we did see some ending stocks declining from about 4.6 million bales to about 4.3. Not really getting the trade excited by those numbers, but I think the cotton discussion really is now a developing argument on new crop acreage, and we won't quite see those updated numbers here for a few weeks there.
What about the livestock numbers?
And actually on livestock, it was really interesting to see what USDA did here today. We did have an increase for beef production, increase for pork production, and a minor increase for chicken. As far as the numbers here, we're looking at across the board on the beef side of things. Today's increase of about 350 million pounds, maybe a little larger than what we wanted to see here. Keep in mind, USDA is now implying that we're going to have this weight problem, which is about 2 to 3% over last year. I think that'll last with us for a little bit of time here. But I think we can have some arguments about perhaps their later year production numbers, third quarter, fourth quarter. That's when things will tighten up a bit more than what their numbers imply.
Well, with some of the markets kind of going back and forth between recovering from COVID and then going back into isolation, are we going to see a change in the numbers going forward for the livestock production numbers as the countries kind of try to get back to normal?
And that's a great question here, because on the livestock side, we're making some arguments that, certainly for pork based on last fall's farrowings due to the virus issues, As well as the current discussion in both beef and pork about perhaps some feed cost-based reductions. We're going to have a later year supply year-over-year decrease, as well as combined with what we expect to see will be a resurging U.S. consumer. And heck, on top of that, we also have some discussions about exports probably remaining a little better than expected. So this late year discussion on the meat end certainly has some good potential here.
What do you think these corn numbers are going to do for our livestock producers?
You know, as far as what USDA has plugged in, this really won't be changing the discussion, but certainly what the market believes is the actual corn situation. This is still a concerning issue for the livestock side. To kind of put things into perspective on the hog side, we've raised our break-evens right now from roughly $65-$66 per hundredweight last year. Now we're looking at about $76 per hundredweight, and actually a little more than that, given our current recent price rebound in the past week and a half beyond when I ran those numbers. So certainly feed costs are a significant concern. On the positive side, we have seen prices for these deferred futures reflect the idea that perhaps this will overcome, in some respects, the concern on the feed cost side.
Well, what should we look for in next month's numbers?
So next month is going to be more or less the same type of story. For the grain discussion, USDA is going to more or less try to be resistant to increasing export sales. Keep in mind, or export shipments. Keep in mind, they're kind of focused on shipments right now, and the peak corn shipping season is actually March through July. So USDA can very slow walk this corn export discussion here and let this draw out for a few months before we see some more realistic numbers. I think the discussion certainly for next month, we're going to have our resurging discussion on acreage, certainly for next month. And USDA will give us numbers here on March 31st. Also keep in mind, USDA has their own Outlook conference next week on the 18th and 19th, Thursday, Friday. That may show maybe some updated acreage ideas as well.
All right, Rich Nelson, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Happy to help.